Off the Ball, GAA.
It was a very interesting moment in Mayo GAA, and then, as you know, we have lots of interesting moments in Mayo GAA.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Let's talk the Irish setup now, because delighted to say the former Republic of Ireland manager Sue Ronan is on the line with us. Good morning, Sue.
Morning, Shane. How are you?
Keeping well. We're keeping well. We haven't had John, I don't think, since the Champions League final, so we should put a bow on that as well. I mean, in all the previews that I listened to in advance of the game, including on Off the Ball, I don't think much hope was given to Arsenal against this Titan Barcelona team. And ultimately, Arsenal just did the job. It was quite incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone gave them any hope. And I actually don't think anyone gave them any hope of overcoming Lyon in the semi-final when they were defeated at home. But they put in a great performance to win that game away from home, 4-1, I think it was. But yeah, Barcelona, I mean, they're the top team in Europe, I guess, have most of the Spanish players playing with them. They're such a good technical team. Just play exactly like the men's team do. And they've been the bugbear, I guess, of Chelsea for the last 4 years. Chelsea haven't been able to overcome them in the semi-finals. I think they've been beaten by them for 4 years now in the semi-finals. So for Arsenal to go in and to win a game as complete underdogs and to get their game plan absolutely spot on really was fantastic. And I'm delighted for Arsenal and obviously delighted for Katie.
Yeah, and for Katie to join that illustrious group of Irish Champions League winners, even that great Arsenal team from 07, Yvonne Tracy, Emma Byrne, Ciara Grant, just puts it in perspective how few Irish players, even on the men's side, when you look back, so few players have achieved this. And it's just the next step in Katie McCabe's brilliant career.
Yeah, and so few Irish players have achieved it, as you say, even on the men's side. So it's fantastic now to have a fourth one on the female side. But yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate in club football in Europe to win the Champions League. It's the golden what would they call it, the golden trail or whatever. Everyone wants to win it. And as I've mentioned Chelsea earlier, they've spent so much on players. They've got the world record now, I think, a couple of times for paying out transfer fees consecutively for two or three players in pursuit of that Champions League, and they haven't been able to deliver it yet, despite winning the Women's League in England for, what is it, 4 or 5 years in a row now. So, yeah, it's the ultimate goal of all clubs, and it's a great achievement for Arsenal Football Club. And as an Arsenal fan as well, true and true, I'm obviously delighted as well that Arsenal won it, and for a second time. So it really is a great achievement, and it's great for Katie. I mean, it's the ultimate in her career to date, and she's bringing that into the Irish squad now, so hopefully that bit of success rubs off on the rest of the squad.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about, Sue, was like how, I mean, it's not Katie McCabe's responsibility necessarily to bring everyone else up to her level when she goes into the Irish camp, but she's going to be feeling, you know, possibly the best she's ever felt in her professional career walking in. I saw that she got this guard of honour and everyone's delighted for her, all of her teammates. How do you think that McCabe can manifest what she's just done with Arsenal and transition that to the national side? Because obviously two completely separate things, but I wonder, can anything be done there?
Yeah, they are two separate things, but I think, you know, the girls have seen what she's done. She's their leader, she's their captain, she's their talisman player, as talisman, as we'd like to say, talisman, whatever way you want to call it. And they look to her on the pitch when things are going wrong. You know, they look to her off the pitch. She's their leader. She's their captain. She's now come home with this biggest piece of silverware in club football just straight before an international camp. It's bound to have some sort of an effect, you know. It's going to have a positive effect. It's going to give positivity around the camp all week. I'm sure there's been great conversations. They've been reliving the game, I'm sure, with Katie, you know, talking about, and it's just talking about winning, it's talking about success. So, you know, hopefully that breathes then into the girls, that they can bring those thoughts then into the game tonight, because like they know they need 6 points at the very least from these two games if they want to win the group. So, you know, positivity can only be helpful.
Is the best version of McCabe the one in Arsenal because she shares the responsibility load completely? Like, there's a number of stars on her team that are teammates. She's not the captain. Do you ever get the sense that there is too much burden on McCabe at international level? Because she really does seem to cherish that, and she seems to flourish in the responsibility. But at times it feels like she's taking everything on board. Like, I'm thinking of the game against Australia at the World Cup, where in the second half she was trying to do everything at once, and the Wales game in Dublin last year when she was probably on the cusp of getting sent off. Yeah. Is there an element of that?
Yeah, I think that probably sometimes seeps into her because she's a winner. You know, she wants to win. She doesn't like losing any type of a match, whether it's a friendly match, whether it's a World Cup game in Australia, whether it's a playoff against Wales. And I think, you know, because she's a winner and obviously because she's the captain, she possibly thinks she has to do more or go the extra mile. And sometimes that seeps into a little bit of negativity into her game. You know, she can lunge into tackles. She can get involved in variables. Silly stuff, really, because it's going to impact her performance or potentially have her booked or even sent off. But I think she does take on that leadership and wants to drag the team through when things are not going well. And she does do that for the Irish team. And maybe she sees it as her responsibility, whereas it's not her responsibility in the Arsenal team, although she is probably one of the longest serving players there now. And she still is quite vocal. You can see her in the pitch and she still is a bit of a leader on the pitch, but you know, she doesn't have to lead in the same way as she does with Ireland, because it is shared, because you have a huge amount of experience across the Arsenal team with English internationals, English captains from other nations. So you know, she doesn't have to do it as much maybe at Arsenal as she does at Ireland. So it's just about her channeling it, I think, and trying to harness that in the right way when those times come around.
Despite this game being away today for Ireland, 6 p.m. Irish time kickoff, do you expect more from Ireland than the home version of this match, which was Carlo Ward's first game in charge when Ireland beat Turkey narrowly 1-0 in Dublin, but Turkey could and probably should have equalised at the end of that game?
Yeah, I think that we really laboured in that performance, and I suppose everyone was disappointed. You know, after that game, we came into it expecting great things. You know, new coach in place. You know, we were trying to forget the disappointment of not qualifying for the Euros, a new campaign starting, and it was such a poor performance. A lot of it was put down to the pitch and conditions on the night, because the conditions weren't great, of course. But it wasn't a great performance, and luckily enough, we got out of jail, as they say, with the 3 points. So I would be expecting a better performance tonight, I think. And I think even Carla mentioned it, you know, it's about now trying to put in a good full 90 minutes, because we've laboured to do that so far in this campaign. We've been good in parts and patches in some games, and then we've been very poor in others. And I mean, away to Slovenia was an example of where over 90 minutes we were just completely poor. So yeah, hoping for a much better performance tonight, and hoping we can get the 3 points to bring it down to Cork to the final day now on Tuesday.
There's a lot of experience that has already gone out the door, Sue, and more is going to be going out the door. You have Niamh Fahey, Diane Caldwell and Julianne Russell gone. Louise Quinn is going to retire officially after those two friendlies against the USA at the end of next month. So it's going to take some players stepping up. You remember Katie McCabe getting the captaincy at such a young age in this Irish setup. They're going to need more of those, aren't they, when you have all of these experienced heads walking out the door?
Yeah, there's a lot of experienced heads gone out the door, and one or two more are going to go. But there's also a lot of experienced players there still who've been around the block a long time. I mean, there's players in that squad who played under me, and I haven't coached the team now for 9 years, you know. So there's a lot of players that have a lot of caps. Like, you've got Denise O'Sullivan, Ruisha Littlejohn, Amber Barrett, Courtney Brosnan, you know, all those. Aoife Mannion is quite experienced at club level. Megan Campbell's played international now since about 2000. 13. So there's still a lot of experience there. I think it's now, you know, it's about time that those players all stood up now and start to become the leaders that have now left, because that's the evolution of a national team. You're going to lose players over time of any team. And it's about others stepping up and being willing to step up and take that mantle. And I think we've enough experience there for players to actually do that.
Yeah, because even as I say that, I'm looking at the stats of the 24 players in the panel. Only six are actually under the age of 25. You've Tyler Toland, Abby Larkin, Aaron Healy, Jesse Stapleton, Emily Murphy and Avian Clancy. And if you take out Louise Quinn, 12 of the 23 are aged 30 or over by the time the World Cup qualifiers begin next spring. So there's definitely still experience in that squad. We heard the clip from Aaron Healy there before we started. Like, really exciting player playing down under with Adelaide, of course, but speaks really well. And Carla Ward obviously likes the cut of her jib.
Yeah, I heard the clip there, and she does speak very well. I don't know anything about her, I have to be honest. I know she qualifies obviously through a grandparent, and she's playing in Adelaide at the moment in Australia from the States, has played in Portugal as well, apparently, I think, where the game is quite technical. And that's what I've heard about her, that she is a creative player, an attacking player, a technical player. And they're the type of players we need. You know, we have players like Amber Barrett and Caruso up front who can score goals, but we're short on the technical creative players. You know, obviously we've Denise O'Sullivan, but she often ends up playing quite deep, and we haven't got her in those advanced positions where we want her to affect the game. I think Marissa Shiva has really done well in the last few games, and you wonder why she hasn't been in the squad for the last while. So I'm looking forward to seeing her again tonight. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Erin Healy, because I think we are quite shy in the advanced areas for these two games. You know, I think we're missing a couple of players that do play in those positions, Leanne Kieran and Heather Payne. So it's welcome to have Erin in the squad, and I'm looking forward to seeing her.
We were talking about the imminent retirement, Sue, in rugby at the moment with Peter O'Mahony and Stephen Archer and Dave Kilcoyne at Munster, and then Conor Murray moving on. And then, of course, we got the news only a few weeks ago that Louise Quinn was packing it all in at the age of 34. But then we get to, you know, quite surprising news that she's actually in this squad. So what kind of a role do you think that Louise Quinn will play tonight against Turkey and next Tuesday against Slovenia? Because sentiment will have to go out the window from Carla Ward, but at the same time, she is still, at 34 years of age, about to retire, one of our best defenders.
Yeah, I was surprised too. Actually, she retired and then she's back in. I'd say there's a conversation had, you know, for these last two games. Carla encouraged her to maybe hold off that retirement, come into the squad, be available for selection, because she never lets you down, in fairness. And she's always a threat as well from set play. I don't know how many goals she scored from corners over the years. So, you know, I'd say that was first and foremost. But also, I think equally as important was to have her around the squad, have her experience there, that leadership that she has from playing with the national team again since whatever the early 2011, 2012, or even earlier, I think she
2008, she was, yeah.
2008, yeah, I think Noel King probably capped her first. So I think that Carla probably felt that experience is vital for the going into these last two games, which are must-win games for the squad. So it's good to see that she's still there for now. And I'm sure if Carla needs to, I don't expect her to start, but if Carla needs her, I'm sure she'd have no hesitation putting her on. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're chasing goals either, if you see her being shoved up front, if we've a lot of possession of the ball, maybe on Tuesday night against Slovenia, because she's definitely a threat in the
year. Yeah, definitely for centre-half. She scored loads of goals over the years. What do you expect tonight?
I'm hoping for a win. I'm expecting a win. I'd be really disappointed if we don't. I think it would be a disaster if we don't.
Yeah.
When you look at where we are and the players we have and where our players are playing and the difference in the rankings. And I know rankings don't always tell the true story, but you know, without being disrespectful to Turkey, on paper, we're a far better team than Turkey, and we should be beating them every day of the week. So I'd be really disappointed if we don't beat Turkey and at least set up that opportunity to try to overhaul Slovenia on Tuesday night.
Are we set up at the moment, Sue, do you think, under Carla Ward, to have the greatest possibilities of scoring goals? Because we don't have a natural goal scorer. We don't have a relentless goal scorer. So that would seem that you'd have to replace the absence of that individual in the aggregate with a number of attacking players. And it feels like we haven't quite hit that balance that you mentioned, the lack of creativity beyond Denise O'Sullivan and maybe the underuse of Marissa Shiva. But I never really feel like there's a massive goal threat coming from Ireland.
No, and I think I've said this before as well. I don't think Irish teams, any of them on men's or women's sides, like we don't score loads of goals. No matter how much we dominate games, I know there's been the odd exception, you know, Montenegro, we've beaten them, or Georgia, those teams maybe heavily, but they're few and far between, and you don't see much of it on the men's side either, no matter how much we dominate games. And that's a fear for us. You know, Turkey will sit deep, Slovenia will definitely sit deep on Tuesday, and do we have that guy and create creativity to break those teams down? I'm not sure we do. And certainly the way we've played the last few times, you can see what Carl is trying to instill in the players, but they need to start doing things quicker. You know, they need to be sharper with the passing. There's a lot of it being laboured, and look, maybe now the three camps in, they've maybe fine-tuned those type of things you would hope to see. But yeah, I don't think we're set up to score a lot of goals really with this team. I don't think we have the personnel to do it, unfortunately.
Before we let you go, Sue, can I just ask you about Mary Earps as well? Obviously hanging up the gloves from an international perspective. She'd obviously recently, I suppose, lost her position on that England starting team and decided to call it a day. I suppose the timing was quite surprising. There's a great line from a BBC sport documentary from Ellen White, her former England teammate, who said she changed goalkeeping, she changed the game, but she hasn't changed, which I thought was a lovely way of putting it. But it's a big blow to England.
Yeah, a huge blow to England, because you talk about experience and someone being vocal on the pitch and on the dressing room and someone having that bit of edge. And Mary Earp certainly has it over the years. And, you know, she had full confidence in her ability. She was out of the team for a long time, way back under... can't remember who the coach was. Then she came back in then, and she claimed that and like she thought she should have been in when she was out all the time. But anyway, she claimed the number one position again and was super. And then the club career, things started to go a little bit south. She wanted to leave Man United, then probably didn't leave when she should have. And I don't know how she's been doing over in France. I haven't really kept a look at her, but I know Hannah Hampton has overtaken her with the national team. But yeah, she'll be a huge loss to them. And the timing is very strange. You know, Hampton has been ahead of her now for this camp for the last year, I think. So, you know, for her to only realise now she's going to be second to Hampton at the Euros and want to call it a day, yeah, it's a bit tough, I guess, on the management team. But look, that's the player's prerogative as well. But she will be a huge loss to them in Switzerland.
Absolutely. Sue, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Brilliant stuff. Sue Ronan, former Republic of Ireland women's national team coach.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Off the Ball GAA.
It was a very interesting moment in Mayo GAA, and then, as you know, we had lots of interesting moments in Mayo GAA.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.